Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Public Safety. Colleagues, today is April 20th, 2015. We are convened for the purpose of continuing the public hearing on Senate Bill 5531, the budget bill of the Oregon State Police. And we're going to continue our deep dive. And Julie, would you like to tee anything up for us, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Today we'll hear again from the Oregon State Police on their policy option packages. They had several. We've also asked them to talk about the effects that any possible budget reductions might have on their programs. One of their policy option packages is a large IT project, and so we've asked Sean McSpaden from the Legislative Fiscal Office to kind of speak to that project and the work that LFO has done on it.
All right. Mr. Superintendent, welcome back.
Good afternoon. Co-Chair Williamson, Co-Chair Shields, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Richard Evans, and I'm the superintendent of the Oregon State Police. I appreciate being able to be back in front of you today. What we're going to talk real quick about is our priorities as we go into this biennium and the policy option packages. As recommended in the governor's recommended budget, policy option package 090 was for 20 additional troopers to be phased in throughout the biennium. As we know, our numbers have diminished over the years, and the 20 additional troopers phased in would assist us in being able to respond to calls for service and other issues that we're facing that I've detailed earlier in my testimony. One of the issues that I'm probably most passionate about right now is the $5.2 million in general fund to the Fish and Wildlife. Basically what that is doing is backing out dedicated funds and relying on general funds for the Fish and Wildlife Troopers. As I've talked before, the Fish and Wildlife Troopers are often called upon to be first responders in rural communities and serve as basically a safety net for public safety in Oregon. They're extremely versatile. They do a lot of pro-enforcement work, and they also are out there protecting our natural resources, which Oregon is so well known for. The concern I have with that is the shift of into general fund. As we've talked about before, since 1980, we've lost about 50% of our patrol troopers once we switch them to general fund. My concern in this, if we don't find a long-term solution, I'll start losing Fish and Wildlife troopers along the way, which also concerns me. I just want to bring that to your attention. If we do not get the $5.2 million, we'll lose about 25% of our field force, 17 troopers, and most of those will be rural and southwest. Policy option package 100 is the additional 33 patrol vehicles and fleet positions, and I want to explain this a little bit deeper for everybody. Since I became superintendent just over 3 years ago, one of the things that I remember from my 17 years on the road is we did not have the right equipment. We continued to add troopers and more troopers, and the fact of the matter is there were times when I was waiting at the office for a car to come in so that I could actually go out on patrol. We used to have one radar, two radars for 15 troopers, one shotgun, two shotguns. You had to basically fight for equipment to go out and do your job. One of my number one priorities is getting the troops the equipment to do the job. And cars has been my number one requirement. I want to go to one-to-one cars, and that will complete the circle so that the troops have all the equipment that they need to do their job. It's not just one-to-one cars. As we look around Oregon, we're not 24/7 coverage anywhere in the state. If I have an issue that I need to send troops for, the first thing we need to consider, so if we have a Elliott Forest issue like we do every couple of years, I need to send 10, 15, 20 troops over there. The first thing I need to look at is to make sure the place I'm sending them for has enough cars to maintain what we normally do. It's not just being on patrol. If you're an active patrol trooper and you work graveyard, all your court appearances, all your DMV hearings, all your training is going to be on day shift, and they need a car to come and go from there. The other thing that's extremely important is we've moved away from 24/7 coverage. We still are responding to calls after hours from midnight to 6 a.m. Usually those are extreme traffic crashes, family disturbances, bar fights, you know, the crime. We used to talk about who's out at between 2 a.m. and 6 in the morning, newspaper delivery, milkman, and police and bad guys. And that's when things happen out there. What is happening now is if we get a call for service, we have to call the troop at home. He has to get in his personal car, drive to the office, often passing by where he needs to be for the call for service, pick up a car, and then go back out. Often takes half hour, 45 minutes. That's not in the best interest of public safety.
Just a moment, Representative Gorsuch.
Sorry to interrupt. I just want to go back to the question of 24/7. How many additional officers would we need to be 24/7 in the state?
Co-Chair Shields, Co-Chair Williamson, Representative Gorsuch. I don't have the exact number, but I would tell you that we're not close in a lot of areas. I believe it'd be over 100 troopers. And then,
really?
Yes, sir. And then what we'd have to do is decide where we were going to do that 24/7. We tried to prioritize I-5 and I-84, but that we haven't been able to have that for about 3 or 4 years now, sir.
Okay. Senator Winters.
Just to follow, could you, and you don't have to do it now, but some point in the future, because you lost trooper force, as you stated earlier, because of the change in the dedicated revenue source. Could you or DAS or someone provide us with how the decline in trooper force has occurred over these 30-some-odd years so that we can have some realization of what it would be in order to get back to the 24/7 capacity? That's one issue. And also, could you also, you know, share with us, you know, and we did kind of a gap last session in order to help support Southern Oregon, and that was just a gap, as to what some of the problems that you see in the future in Southern Oregon if those particular counties are not able to provide the law enforcement services that because of their levies.
Co-Chair Williamson, Co-Chair Shields, Senator Winters, I will go back. We have tracked very closely since 1980 the trooper numbers and how that has dropped, so that would be easily shared with the committee probably this afternoon. This weekend we had another homicide in Cave Junction. The numbers continue to go up. The person-on-person assaults and criminal activity in those rural counties where law enforcement is not present or readily available. Even though we're responding to those calls, the violence seems to be going up, in my personal opinion, and the amount of fatal motor vehicle crashes involving alcohol is going up, especially in some of those rural counties, and the numbers won't be available for a while, but the troopers that we were approved from the last legislative session are in school now and will be hitting the roads. But the fact of the matter is a long-time solution or some stabilized funding or some type of statewide response to public safety is going to be required, because piecemealing it county to county to county is not working, and it's really affecting my troopers in that county. Their health, their ability to work, and how much they are working. And, you know, it's just like any other job. When you're going to continually go into high-stress situations, it wears on those folks, and I'm starting to see that in our workforce.
Thank you. Representative Krieger.
Superintendent, you and I had a conversation about the lack of wisdom of taking the general fund into the game division. I agree with you, and I spoke of that before we even had the hearing. Do you know off the top of your head how much, I guess, angling, hunting dollars are coming for the enforcement division now from the Department of Fish and Wildlife?
Co-Chair Williamson, Co-Chair Shields, Representative Krieger, I do not know off the top of my head what the
I just kind of wonder what the percentage is of general fund that supports the game division compared to other. We'd like to have that, maybe.
Yes, sir. I believe it's around 5%, and that usually pays. I think it's 5 to 8% off the top of my head, and it pays for the lieutenants, the captains, and the folks at headquarters. That is all general fund dollars.
Okay. And follow up would be, we just got, I think, $3 million on that rural schools dollars that came in, and about 1.1 goes to the general fund of the county, those road department and schools. As a result of that, I would just guess that the taxing levy for the sheriff's office is going to go down, which I think it may have anyway. And so Curry County is going to have a real quandary on their hands, and only ask you to communicate with those people and our sheriff to see what needs to be done and we can't expect you or anyone to do the impossible. You mentioned that piecemealing this together isn't good, but that's why I'd love to see our federal lands get back to the states and start managing for people and schools and public safety.
Co-Chair Williamson, Co-Chair Shields, Representative Krieger, Curry County is one of our strongest relationships, and I've actually met with all the county commissioners down there, sat down with them, so we have a relationship, and we'll continue to work as hard as we can to make do with what we have.
Okay, thank you.
Please continue.
We also have some facility needs that we talked about in the prior presentation, the Springfield and Astoria Warrenton. Okay. The $2 million in general fund, the Springfield building that we've talked about actually houses our region headquarters for Southwest Oregon, our patrol office, and our crime lab. And frankly, we've outgrown that crime lab space. We can't add any more scientists into that space, and it's very narrow. It's owned by ODOT. ODOT is working with us, but they want the building back, and we have to find somewhere else to move. We were looking at that prior to that because we wanted to get some more space for our crime lab folks as we continue to move forward with criminal analysis. More instruments mean more room. So those are the two facility priorities that we have to tackle this biennium. And then on the bottom, there's a couple more reclassifications, 78,000 other funds that are included in that package. Policy option packages 101 and 102, the crime view replacement. You're going to hear about that today. But basically, it's not just the Oregon State Police that rely on that package or that project, the crime view project. It's all law enforcement. And that's just not in Oregon. That's across the United States. We often share data, criminal history, driving records, and other potential wanted missing folks, you name it, it's contained in the crime view system. So it's basically the backbone of information for the public safety services. We had a system in place, that legacy system, that basically was at single point of failure. And the fact of the matter is the public safety records of Oregon shouldn't be that vulnerable. And I know they're going to talk a little bit about this later. Policy option package 102 is the LEDS data DMV exchange. And basically what that is any time that a police officer in the state of Oregon runs a person, a vehicle, or any other article through to see if the person's wanted, driver's license, through the DMV, it actually crosses a switch out at ETS. And basically what that $447,000 is a cost of providing that service to all law enforcement. There was discussions about that in the last session, about billing our partners. I know that they tried that in Michigan several years ago, as I researched it last year, and it turned into a pretty big mess. Counties were not paying for that. City police were not paying for that. And the state started withholding payments to the counties, and it became a big political mess. The fact of the matter is we've assumed that responsibility, and we believe it's important that all law enforcement in Oregon and across the United States have information to that access to that information, and tracking down to how much time each agency spent in trying to bill that would create more bureaucracy than we'd have to have several full-time employees just to track that information. Next one. This one, policy auction package 501, is the what came in ballot measure 91. It added four additional positions, three detectives, and one forensic scientist, additional training, and then to sworn personnel. And $1.4 million in other funds. I believe when the ballot measure 91, the additional training was the recognition of impaired drivers through our DRE program was some of the thoughts of that. We have been engaged in conversations with OLCC on what our model would look like and how we would set that up. The policy option package is not part of that consideration, as we discuss how we're going to assist OLCC and the state of Oregon in making sure that the marijuana program is rolled out as efficiently as we can, and making sure that if there are violations or criminal activity associated with that program, that we would be in a position to actually take action or start identifying the trends and then make adjustments through the legislative session each year. We are actively engaged, like I said, with OLCC, and we're working hard and trying to figure out what that would look like. I keep getting asked questions about, well, what's it look like? And until the rules are set up, I need the rules of engagement. It's like playing a basketball game without the rules. It's pretty hard for me to come up and tell you exactly what we're going to do. But once the rules are set through the legislature, once they define exactly how this will operate, it'll be easier for me to then come back and give you a detailed plan on what OSP's role in the marijuana issue will be. Policy option pack show 7090 is basically internal housekeeping with expenditure limitations. One of the things that we have is in the Fish and Wildlife Division, besides the other funds that come in from, well, there were other funds that come in for Fish and Wildlife. It's projected to be some of that general fund is our agreements with some of the other partner agencies, the federal government, ATV use. There's basically Fish and Wildlife has so many different programs. We needed the additional limitations to be able to achieve our spend our budget the most effective way. This one. As we always do, we're required to put in the 10% reduction plan. One of the things that I've talked about over and over with our folks is that we continue to be a very high level of general fund, and anytime any reductions come through, it's basically major programs. We're past a point of being able to take two or three or four positions from each of our divisions or our programs, because frankly that's generally what our programs are made of, two, three, four people to get that. So we looked at the 10% reduction plan. We have some various overtime and interagency agreements. We have to include other fund. We just have to put it up there. And the fact of the matter is that's really where all our other fund comes from. In the general fund, we looked at what would be the least impactful. And I don't even think that's probably the best term about what we could or couldn't do. And we are. Reduction in the drug task forces would be 23 full-time employees. It really comes down to our patrol work is extremely important. All our other jobs are sole services, and reducing major crimes would not be the best option. But on our priority list, drug crimes is number two. Number three is our major crime program. When you get down to 10% of our general fund, there's really not much to cut, and basically what we'd be left with is our patrol division. Reduce fish and wildlife enforcement of measure 76 by 10%. That's an additional three full-time employees. The Fish and Wildlife is our only group or department that receives lottery dollars. And then federal funds from our forensics partners, that's generally the only place we receive federal funds except Fish and Wildlife, so we'd have to reduce it there also. As you can see by the 10% reduction list and any holdbacks within the budget, it's basically people for us. There's really nothing else for us to cut back once we get to that point. Historically, when you have forensics, criminal division, which are extremely important investigations, child investigations, homicides, burglary, rapes, you get down to it, and Fish and Wildlife being stable into other funds, our cuts have come out of patrol. Because it comes down to working from 2 to 3 in the morning or having a patrol available or being able to respond to homicides and extremely violent criminal activity. So that's why the priorities are set out the way that they are. In closing, I just want to stress to the committee how important equipment is for us to be able to do our job. One of the discussions that I had when I first took over this job is, once I get to the point where we equip and have our troopers fully functional 100% and we're not trying to fill our equipment needs, would be the point that would we come back and start asking for people. And so I'm hoping to get to that in this biennium, that we fully equip the folks we have to do the job properly, and then next time I come back to talk to you, we'd be trying to expand. I know it's the question before you is, how can you do both? In my mind, if I'm more effective that the folks that I have are available to respond to calls for service 24/7. They have the equipment to do the job. We become more effective right now immediately. And then in the long term, once we get to that point, then we can start to look at number expansions. And that's the policy choices that I've made internally, because troopers without a car, a shotgun, a radar, it's It's pretty hard for them to go do their job 100% of the time.
Representative Krieger.
Mr. Superintendent, recently we've heard and seen across the world, even in this country, more terrorism. And it's starting to get even, though I live very rural, people are kind of preparing a little bit. But in the cities and places like that, there's not a lot the individuals can do. Is there anything that you and the sheriffs are taking part in that's where you're meeting and have plans to address this thing? Because I think it's coming.
Co-Chair Williamson, Co-Chair Shields, Representative Krieger, I would tell you that the conversations between the chiefs, sheriffs, and the FBI on terrorism is ramping up. We met last week, Wednesday, in fact, in Bend, heard from the special agent in charge of the FBI. I believe Oregon is right now is number 8 in the states in terroristic acts that originate from the state. And so we are coming up with some plans to address that. Having vehicles is part of that plan, being able to respond at a minimum, but the discussions are happening.
I just want to make sure we have that on the record because we have an opportunity to see if they're properly funded to do the job we ask them to do, and we have to make the investment.
Senator Winters.
Just, and I know, you know, you talked about your priority is the fully equipped, and I shared that, as you know, when I did my ride-along. But also, and I know that you're going to have to retire some of your dogs, and so that also, you know, where is the replacement of the dogs to help with this fully equipped package that I, you know that troopers need?
So, Co-Chair Shields, Co-Chair Williamson, Senator Winters, I've always appreciated your passion for that program. We are in the process of trying to obtain the dogs that were recently lost to retirement. And I will tell you from my experience of doing this for almost 28 years, the narcotics traffickers and the cartels used to hide the narcotics in the vehicles. It used to be extremely difficult to find them. The last few seizures, they're just sitting in boxes on the back seats of cars. They're sitting in the trunk. They're no longer fearing that we're going to find these large sums of money, large sums of narcotics, and frankly, they're just sitting out. One of the stops about a week and a half ago, the person that was operating the car was frantically trying to cover pounds of methamphetamine with a newspaper because he knew once the trooper walked up, he would see it just sitting on the seat. So, you know, the dog is our number one priority to stop and combat that, and we're getting larger seizures, so we are working on that, and it is a priority, and we have them on I-5, I-84, and 97, thanks to you now, and we will continue to work on that program. Drugs, narcotics that are trafficked in that amount are obviously serious violations of crime, and children and families are affected if we don't stop that from happening.
But also they actually can be quite protective of the officer. And I know that in following some of the activities in the city, they have actually been an invaluable partner with the officers, because not only can they sniff out the drug, but they actually act as another deterrent. And so I do have a passion for that, for the dogs. They have actually done more than fulfill their duty, and I just hope we continue to make certain that we provide you with not only that, but the equipment that you need in the patrol cars, because when I rode in them, I wasn't very pleased with what we had for our troopers and their needs, particularly. It's bothersome to think that they could be out in the rural community, they could be out someplace and can't get the help or have what they need in order to not only to defend themselves. So, yes, I am a strong passion for making certain you have what you need in order to go forward. And along that line, co-chairs, at some point we've got to get busy in this process, in this building, and look at ways to actually come up with the dedicated funding. This has gone on for far too many years with the state troopers having to play not even second fiddle, in some case third and fourth fiddle in order to have to beg for the general fund, in order to actually protect us, you know, and that's their job. And so it behooves us, actually, I think, to begin to look at ways that we can actually remedy what happened 30-some, almost 40 years ago, so.
Senator Bates?
Just real quick, I'm going to reiterate something you probably heard a dozen times. I'm extremely concerned about Josephine County, too, Curry County, too. Josephine County has become the Wild Wild West, and it's not good. The amount of crime going on over there is dangerous, and it's now seeping into Jackson County. In Jackson County, we have a strong tax base on real estate, and about average for the rest of the state, so we have a good presence as far as county and city is concerned. State police are stationed in our county at Central Point. I know several of those officers. I'm extremely worried about their safety, mental, physical, and their safety when they go into Josephine County, down to Curry County. They're all alone. There's nobody out there to back them up. I'm very, very concerned, and I'm hoping that not just getting cars, because I think most of them have their own cars down there. I actually went and called them up last weekend to see what was going on. But it's a lack of personnel, too, and I'm hoping we can get more people signed there. With the passage of the federal money coming in, I think that dooms any chance of raising property taxes in a county, Josephine at least, that is extremely low tax base. I just don't think we're going to get there. And as a result, you guys are going to have more of a burden on your shoulders. So anything we can do to help out in that area, I'd be very, very supportive of. And the last thing is the dogs, too. My wife is a proud owner of a 100-pound German Shepherd. I'm a sort of secondary fiddle at home, but that dog is very protective. And when I'm not there, I've seen the pictures. She sleeps on my side of the bed on my pillow. Okay. And the question I've got for you is, the dogs are going to be retired. I assume they have homes to go to.
Co-Chair Shields, Co-Chair Williamson, Senator Bates, what happens in the process, and everyone that has retired since I've been superintendent is now a family dog with a handler. The kids, the dog lives with the family. They come very attached to the family, and it becomes, I've seen right. Birthday cakes, birthday parties for the dogs. I've seen some they won't let them go. So we do retire the dogs when they hit a certain age, and depending on each dog, each health, and the families then adopt the dog that the trooper that has them.
That's better than I got from the department when I retired. I didn't get no cake.
I know.
There's a message there, Representative, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Yeah.
But be sure that they all have homes. If they don't, my wife will take one.
All right. Let's please continue. We got a lot of material to get through.
That's all I have today, Senator Shields.
Good. Thank you. Bam?
Mr. Co-Chair, Madam Co-Chair, Art Ayer with the Chief Financial Office, and I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Good. Who's that?
Sorry, Sean.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sean McSpadden. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon. Co-chairs, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sean McSpadden, and I serve as a principal legislative information technology analyst for the Legislative Fiscal Office. In addition to that role, I also serve as the committee administrator for the IT subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means and the committee administrator for the Transparency Oregon Advisory Commission. As part of our normal role for the Legislative Fiscal Office, we have two IT analysts, myself and Mr. Bob Cummings. We split up the agencies. We work in partnership on certainly oversight, legislative oversight for all the major IT projects. One of the projects that is within my portfolio is the Oregon State Police Crime View Replacement Project. On behalf of LFO, I have prepared a more detailed analysis and recommendations memo. My understanding is that Ms. Naburka has posted that to the committee's website. With that in mind, I'll just go ahead and speak briefly, hit some of the highlights, and then be available for any questions that you may have. Within Policy Option Package 101, The Oregon State Police has made a 2015-17 request in the amount of $7 million. As Superintendent Evans' slide indicated, that breaks apart $2 million of general fund, $5 million of other funds. The purpose of the project is to replace or upgrade the CrimeView system, which is comprised of multiple databases, primarily the criminal history files and the hot files, of which there are many, or 15 to 20 or so hot file databases. The other component of the project is to evaluate the replacement of the law enforcement data system's message switch. And so as part of Policy Option Package 101, the department has requested the ability to have the initial allocation of funds to begin the project in a phased manner. They've been working with our office, with the Legislative Fiscal Office, also with the Office of the State CIO for many, many months, since about early 2013, on this particular project. As Superintendent Evans indicated, the CrimeView system, the compilation of databases, and the message switch really represent Oregon's central repository for criminal justice information. It is, in particular, the message switch is the hub for all communication between state, local government, federal government, tribal law enforcement agencies across Oregon, in the region, and certainly federally and even internationally. It simply is a critical system for the state of Oregon, and certainly through the CrimeView system, the Oregon State Police has an obligation to keep criminal history information, keep hot file information for all of those partners. As part of that funding request, the department has identified an implementation plan that would span roughly two biennia or so, somewhere between 38 and 50 months, depending on the implementation approach. Within my analysis, I provide a bit more detail about the options that the department has considered, one of which certainly is likely the preferred for everyone involved, which is to identify, acquire, and then deploy a commercially available off-the-shelf system that would allow them to avoid customization. It would allow for a configuration to meet Oregon's needs, but really provide much more of a straightforward implementation path. The other is a true custom development effort. Counter to the approach that Oregon State Police took in 1996 when the CrimeView database was originally put in place, the department does not intend to use internal resources for custom development if that's the choice they had to move forward with, but instead to look to the vending community, folks with experience doing this kind of thing, to do that custom development. Again, it's not the preferred option, but it is one of the options that's being considered. The overall cost of the program over that 38 to 50 month period of time is currently, and it's a very preliminary estimate, about $11.7 million. Again, a multi-biennial effort. In late 2013, early 2014, the Oregon State Police worked with the Governor's Office to form the Criminal Justice Information Standards Advisory Board. That's a board that is put in place under statute, ORS 181.725. It's a group that is a multi-jurisdictional group of local government law enforcement agencies, state law enforcement agencies, associations, et cetera, that are to come together and advise the criminal justice community on projects just like this one. In parallel, the Oregon State Police has formed an internal steering committee. They formed representative project team internally, and as I said, they've met with our office and the Office of the State CIO regularly since the project's inception. We're very happy with the interaction to date. Based on the activities they've conducted to date, the documents they've produced, and the project status reporting that they've given us, we really do believe at this stage in the project's life cycle that the Oregon State Police has done an appropriate level of due diligence, that according to the joint state CIO and Legislative Fiscal Office stage gate review process, they have satisfied some of the early requirements to be able to move to the next step. With that said, I've got a detailed set of recommendations in the analysis memo, but suffice it to say that we do recommend incremental or conditional approval of Policy Option Package 101. And this is the big thing, assuming the funds are available through Senate Bill 5531. With that said, I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Senator Winters.
Just one quick question, because you mentioned that the $11.7 million, mm-hmm. And yet the ask is $7 million. So I'm looking for the other 4.7.
Sure. Co-Chair Shields, Co-Chair Williamson, Senator Winters. The $7 million is the 2015-17 request.
Okay.
The balance of the funding would be requested in the 17-19 biennium during the 17 session.
And I haven't looked at what was posted follow-up, but when we did the E-Court, part of the condition of the E-Court with the vendor is that they would be paid based upon completion of sections of the project, and I'm hoping that that was part of the recommendation for this one as well, so that it's kind of that you're not revisiting a Cover Oregon situation, but that vendors have to perform before they get paid.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Senator Winters, although my analysis and recommendations doesn't specifically call out the requirement for a deliverables-based contract, we would not allow the department to move forward with a time and materials contract. They express no intent to do that. We've all learned our lesson, and certainly with this particular project, it would be a deliverables-based contract.
Just need to put that on the record.
Bet.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. We got through this one quicker than I thought.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Julie, anything else we should know for the good of the order?
No. Thanks. Okay. I think we're good.
See, that's Representative Krieger.
The court was so successful. It was delivered.
There seems to have been mm-hmm. some interest by Senator Bates, Senator Winters, and others about a dedicated funding source for the state police. I've been on the last 15 years, I bet you, five or six task force that we end up with a book and it goes on a shelf. That's the end of it. That's task force. But if you get a work group or dedicated to something, you'll get a lot more out of it. I'd like to see some leadership from the Senate to form a work group of Democrats and Republicans in equal numbers and start working on it. Just in a few days, all the bills are into the separate. Things start slowing down a little.
Yeah.
We might at least have time to do some exploratory work and actually start doing something. If we don't do it, it isn't going to happen.
I think you're correct, Representative Krieger, and I think it's even more critical. I just had a side conversation with Senator Shields and said, I don't see if the southern counties and some of the coastal counties are going to actually pass some levies, which makes it even the issue even more critical. And so I'm not the least of adding the whole new dimension of Measure 91 to the discussion with that little caveat that's in there that I don't think individuals thought about when they voted for it, that cities and counties can't levy. So I do think that we need to have, a seriously of talking about how we're going to provide law enforcement protection in this state. And the state troopers are a big part of that piece. So I'm willing to meet with any group to begin having those conversations in preparation of the next session. The troopers, and I don't know how many of you have done ride-alongs with them. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so.
That's fun.
It can be.
Probably not for them.
and not the city streets, but to actually go out into the rural parts of our state. And so I'm with you.
I think we need to have, you talk about wanting to raise taxes, not raise taxes, can't raise fees. We'll be looking at, I think, another new funding source, which means new dollars. And if you're not willing to have that conversation, I'm willing to have that conversation.
I think we have the formation of a work group. Keep us posted.
Mr. Chair,
Bates.
Were you thinking, Representative Krieger, of having some people from the House have a joint work group, House and Senate,
House
together?
And Senate.
Yes.
Thank you. I want to be clear on that. Good.
All right. I'll keep an ear out, too.
Give us about a week, okay?
All right. Anything else for the good of the order? We are adjourned. Tomorrow adjourned. Tomorrow we